This week's Parashas Metzora, Kapitel Yudal, Pasuk Gimel, V'yotza HaKoyin al Michutz Lamachane, V'roa HaKoyin, V'hine Nirpo Nega HaTaras Min HaTzerua. The Koyin shall go forth to the outside of the Machane, of the camp. V'roa HaKoyin, the Koyin shall see, V'hine, and behold, Nirpa Nega HaTaras, the Taras affliction, Minatzerua, Nirpo is healed, the Nega HaTzeras Minatzerua, from the Mitzayra. So the Tzeras affliction has been healed. Rashi says, El Michutz LaMachane, Chutz L'Shloisha Machanois, outside of the three Machanois, Shenishtaleach Shom B'mei Chalutai, when he was in solitary confinement, when he was a Mitzayra, he sent outside to the three camps, and there he stays until over here, Vihine Nirpa, we see that it's healed, and then he can go through the process and he can become Torah. The Mitzvah has remained secluded. Why? Because he caused separation between a man and his wife, and between a man and his friend, so too he shall be set apart. As I state in the Gemara in Erechin, that's the reason why the Mitzvah has to go outside of the three camps, because he created separation, so therefore we're going to separate him from everyone. The question that we can understand is this punishment, it says, Mida Kenegan Mida, right? It says it the same way he caused separation, so we separate him. But is there something to learn from it, or is it just a Mida Kenegan Mida punishment, or there's something else that we could learn from here? There's a fascinating medrash, fascinating. Ayikir Rabba, the Medrash says like this. Maise b'roich alechad. There was a story with a peddler. Shal yamachzi by yoreis. That he used to go travel from city to city. V'ho yamachriz. And he would announce. V'oimim. And he would say, Man boy the mizman sam chayim. Who seeks to purchase the medicine of life? That's what he was asking. He was walking around. He's a salesman. And he's selling the samchayim, the medicine of life. Rabbi Yannai was in his mansion. He told the peddler that he's interested. Come, I want to buy some. And it sounds good. I want to have the samchayim. He answered him, you don't need it. It's not for you. People of your stature don't need this. Itra la v'salak l'gabe haitzi le'sefer tehillim l'churach. Rabbi Yannai beseeched the peddler to sell him this magical potion. The peddler took out a rolled up sefer tehillim. He had a tehillim that was a sefer tehillim that was rolled up like a scroll, and he showed him from the pasuk. The pasuk in Kapin Tehillim, Kapitel Lamedalit, pasuk Yud Gimel Yudalit. Mi ha'ish hechafetz chayim. Who is a man who seeks life? Nitzor l'shoyin chomera, sur meirava asetoyv. Guard your tongue from speaking evil. Sur meira, stay away from evil, va'asetoyv, and do good. Amar Rav Yannai, kol yomai, all the days of my life. Ha'isi blayin pasik zeh, I learned this pasik until. V'la'isi yedeya, heichen hu. I did not understand what this pasuk was telling me, where it literally stated this thing that you should stay away from lashon hara, the medicine of life. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Zois tiyataris haMitzayra." We know that lashon hara is the cause of tzaras, one of the causes, one of the seven we discussed last week. And this is the Medrash. Fascinating Medrash. But we need to understand this Medrash, because it's begging for an explanation. Why does the Medrash say that the peddler brought a rolled up tehillim? The Medrash is not telling us extra words over here. Why do you say rolled up? Who cares if it's rolled up or not? Azei frek de Zera Berach. The Zera Berach was a Talmud of the Megala Mukis. Secondly, How could it be that Rav Yanai did not understand this pasuk until the peddler explained it? The peddler sounds like he's a commoner, he's a peddler, he's a salesman. Rav Yanai was a great tzaddik. How could it be that Rav Yanai did not know what it means? Doesn't seem to make sense. The pasuk in Mishlei says, "Oyach yamim b'mina b'smerla oishav v'chaved." Length of days are in her, who's her? The Torah's right hand. In her left hand are wealth and honor. So the right represents a Torah, and the left represents a Shears. One who searches for the precise reasons behind the teachings of the Torah, he'll be granted length of days, as well as wealth and honor. However, those who only deal with the Torah left-handedly, they learn Torah Shelo Lishma, will have wealth, but not length of days. So the Pasuk in Mishlei is telling us that there's something called learning Torah Lishma, and something called Torah Shelo Lishma. If you learn Torah Lishma, you're going to have length of days, you're going to have a long life, and you're going to write. You're going to have a long life, and in addition, you're going to have wealth. However,
if you're learning for a reward,
if you're learning Shelo Lishma, not for the proper reasons, so then you're only going to have wealth, you're not going to have long days. Now, Gamliel, the Gemara in Brachas and Dav Chochah says, the Gamliel will say that one whose inside does not resemble his outside should not come to the Beis Medrash. Which means that he looks like he was a tzaddik, or he has to look like a tzaddik and be a tzaddik inside. He has to be Lishma. That's what Gamliel held. Gamliel with the opinion that it's also to learn Torah Shelo Lishma. He's not allowed to. And if you're going to learn Torah Shelo Lishma, don't come into my Beis Medrash. I have no seats for you here. Mm-hmm. The Chachamim disagreed with him and held that you should learn Shelo Lishma, because even if you learn Shelo Lishma, hopefully eventually you'll come to Lishma. Everyone agrees that Lishma is a much greater level than Shelo Lishma. So many people have to learn Shelo Lishma to come to the level of Lishma. The Marachar Zeruah says that he's not going to hold that it's an Aveira. The Marachar Zeruah holds that it's an Aveira to learn Shelo Lishma. But he says, it's kedai to learn Shelo Lishma and do Aveira Kala, he calls it, a low-level Aveira, because that's going to cause you to ultimately, when you're going to feel, you're going to taste the sweetness of the Torah, and you're going to eventually, hopefully, learn Lishma, that's such a great mitzvah, it's kedai to do an Aveira Kala in order to achieve this great mitzvah of Torah Lishma. So what was the source of the machlokes between the Chacham and Gamliel? So they had a machlokes. Gamliel held that if you're not going to learn the Shema, don't come into my Beis Medrash. And the Chacham held it's not a problem. So what was the source of the machlokes? It says in Tehillim, Luchu vanim shimuli yiras Hashem alamedchem. Go forth, my sons. Luchu vanim, go forth, my sons. Shimuli, listen to me. Yiras Hashem, the fear of Hashem. Alamatchem, I will teach you. Rabbi Gamliel understood the next pasuk, the pasuk right after that. Mi yo'ish echofetz chayim. Who is the man that desires life? As meaning, so now the question of is, are you going to connect the two pasukim, or are you going to say the two separate things? So, like this, very simple. You got to listen carefully, but it's very simple. The Chachamim held the pasuk of Lechu Vanim Shimuli Yerash Hashem Alamatchem is not connected to Mi Yerash Chofetz Chaim. It says Mi Lechu Vanim Shimuli Yerash Hashem Alamatchem. You should learn Yerash Hashem. Yerash Hashem refers to the Torah. I'm going to teach that to you. That's one thing. A second thing, Mi Yerash Chofetz Chaim Nitzor L'Shoyin Chameira. You want to know how you're going to have a long life? If you're going to guard your tongue. So the Chacham said two separate things. Rabbi Gamliel said no. It's one thing. It's connected to what we just said. If you're Yiras Hashem alamedchem, then Hamiyish Chofetz Chaim. He's the one who's Chofetz Chaim, that he seeks long life. If you're Yiras Hashem, he's the one who seeks long life. Which means that only if you learn Torah Lishma are you zeicha to have a long life. If not, you're not. That was the source of the Machlokes. The peddler took out a rolled up Tehillim and began showing Rav Yani the pasuk of Mir Ish while keeping the words Ayach Yamin rolled up. Hafledig. You have a rolled up scroll. If it would have been a Tehillim that's open, so you might see one thing. It's scroll. The point is that he didn't show him the pasuk before. He didn't show him the pasuk L'chuv Anim. Rav Yani learned like Rav Gamliel till now. Rav Yani learned like Rav Gamliel that the pasuk says Yiras Hashem Alamechem. That you have to be a Yiras Hashem. Mi Yishe Chavetz Chaim. Only the one who sits in, who does the L'chuv L'shma. But if not, no, you don't get a long life. So the peddler showed him, no, we keep that covered up. It's a separate Yisoid. Mi Yishe Chavetz Chaim. Who is the one who seeks life? L'chuv L'shem Chameirel. So that's what he's learning. So one, she has to learn Torah even Shalei L'shma, because this will bring him to learn L'shma. And secondly, one who desires a long life should guard his mouth from speaking Lashon Hara. So we learn, so Rav Yanai was saying that he understood this pasuk initially as Rav Gamliel did, that only one who learned the Shema will merit a long life. But now we learn two things from the peddler. He learned, number one, you should learn Tayyar Shalei Lashma. Because if you learn Shalei Lashma, it'll bring you to Lashma. And secondly, you want to know if you want to have a long life, you would desire a long life, you should guard his mouth from speaking Lashon Hara. That's why he says the need of his scroll. It says in the Chaim Tov, Rav Tovya Halevi, he says like this. The peddler told Rav Yanai that neither he nor people similar to him needed the medicine of life. Why? Rav Yanai yelled out from his castle, from his palace, hey, I want to know about this. He said, nah, it's not for people like you. Why not? Why isn't it for people like him? He is the last people Lashon Hara. What does it mean? Why do they need it? The greatest tzaddikim. They for sure don't speak Lashon Hara, but they should know it. So the Chaim Tov says like this. He gives an example, which is going to help illustrate why the peddler felt that a tzaddik of Rav Yanai's stature didn't need his quote-unquote medicine. Rav, the Gemara in Yevamos, tells us he had a very difficult life. When he asked his wife for beans, she served him lentils. When he asked for lentils, she served him beans. And whatever he wanted, there was always something else he got. Never got what he wanted. One day, Rav told his son Chia that he had been receiving the food that he asked for. Chia explained. He wanted to know, he said, what's going on? Rav told Chia, my son, why all of a sudden, for all the years, your mother's giving me the wrong food. I ask for beans, I get lentils. I ask for lentils, I get beans. And all of a sudden, I'm getting the right food. What's going on over here? Your mother changed? So Chia said, no. Your wife's the same way. My mother's the same way. But I know to switch it around. I was the messenger. I was the go-between. So when you asked me, he says, Daddy, Tati, whatever you call him, he says, when you asked me, you said, son, Chia, can you please go tell your mother that I want beans? I told her, you want lentils. So I told her you want lentils, she gave you the wrong thing, she gave you beans, but you wanted beans. So basically I just swapped it in the middle. Whatever you wanted, I just told her the other thing. And if I know you want beans, I'm going to tell her lentils and I'll get you beans. Whatever it is you want, I'll tell her something. I know what the key word is to tell her to get you what you want. So Rav rebuked Chia. Rav rebuked his son and said, no, don't do that. Why not? Because he says you're going to come to lying other instances. If you're going to get used to lying, you're going to go to your mother and say that Daddy, Tati, Abba, he wants lentils when he really wants beans. Yeah. You're teaching, you're going to become a liar. Torah is a protection against evil speech. Rav was teaching Chia that he could not lie even where he technically would have been allowed to. Technically would have been allowed to because it wouldn't have been a problem, really, he says. Chia was a child at that time, and he did not have a protection of Torah. Chia, when he got older, would have had the same protection of Torah. But because Chia was young, he didn't have the protection of Torah. Well, Rav himself could have, because he had the protection of Torah. So if Rav wanted to say it, he could have done it. But he helped Chia couldn't, because he didn't have the protection of Torah. There are times that Shek and Lashon Hara are permitted. There are halachas, Sporadam HaChavetz Chaim, there are times. However, one who did not acquire Torah should never, ever speak Lashon Hara, as he will definitely say things which are prohibited. The peddler told Rav Yanai that he did not need this medicine of life. It is for those who do not have Torah. They must always guard their tongue from Lashon Hara, even at times when it's permitted. in order that they protect themselves from times that is not permitted. Tafli. He says is, take out a Chavetz Chaim, and say for Chavetz Chaim, it'll say is, that there are certain instances you're allowed to say Lashon Hara. But the Chaim Tayyip is saying is, that Rav is saying, telling his son Chia, if you're not a Talmud Chacham, and you're not a Ben Torah, then you're never allowed to say, even if it's technically mutter. You know why? Because you're going to get used to saying it.
Right.
You're going to get used to saying Lashon Hara, and therefore it's not permitted. Half of it. Said in the Shlok Kodesh. The tefillah, prayer, is a gift that we can give to the King of all kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mouth is the utensil which holds a gift. If one were to give a king of flesh and blood a beautiful gift, yet he would present it in a disgusting bowl. He'd give him a bowl, a beautiful, I don't know, gold ring, and he'd give it in this disgusting, filled with mud and manure and whatever it is in that bowl. I mean, the king would punish him on two accounts. One, for bringing a gift in such a disgraceful utensil, and second, for ruining a beautiful gift, because by putting it in it, you ruined it. Let's assume it was food, you ruined it. And a person needs to ensure that his mouth is clean and pure for his gift. What can we give the Ribbono Shel Olam? Tefillos. We use our mouth. What can we give the Ribbono Shel Olam? We could daven. We could learn with our mouth. We have to keep it clean and pure. Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer. Mir ish echofetz chayim. What does life mean? Who is the man who seeks life? Chofetz chayim. Chayim, life. It seems that from the simple meaning of the pasuk, it means actual life as opposed to death. The peddler was explaining the pasuk that life was referring to the schus of enjoying a good life. What does a good life mean? A life filled with purpose and meaning. Only one who guards his tongue from speaking evil will be zeicha to have a good life. Perhaps now we can understand why the Mitzray gets expelled from all the camps of Israel and is left in isolation. Our job in this world is to bring the light of Torah into this world. We need to have a positive effect on others. That's what we're supposed to be doing. One who speaks evil, he causes a negative effect on others. He is sent away to be in isolation, so he should stay away from other people. We don't want him to talk to other people. He should have time for introspection of why he became a mitzvah, because he used his mouth improperly. He may be alive, but he can't talk to other people. What's a life without purpose? He's sitting in isolation. His life is worthless. Why does the Medrash say, I wonder, why does the Medrash say he's a peddler? Why did you have to give this example with a peddler? You know why a peddler? Because a peddler goes from city to city and town to town. A simple peddler can have an effect on other people. He's constantly meeting other people. He's constantly talking to other people. We all need to realize the effect that we can have on other people. People think I'm not so important. No one listens to me. I don't have an effect on other people. But that's not an attitude we have to have. We have to realize that we have the potential, by using our mouths properly, that we can have a positive effect on others. There's a story, they say that after the end of World War II, Rabbi Eliezer Silver, he visited and he helped thousands of survivors that were in DP camps in Germany and Poland who were waiting to find permanent homes. They were stuck there, they didn't have nowhere to go. One day, he was handing out siddurim. He came, he was handing out siddurim and other stuff of Torah stuff. And there was one man, he's a Yid, and he says, I don't want, don't give me a siddur, don't give me a chumash, I don't want anything. You know what he said, why? He said, after the way I saw Jews act in the camp, I don't want to have any connection with religion. Sir, Silva says, I don't understand. What did you see that you don't want to have any connection with religion? What did you see? So the man said, I saw there was a Yid who had a siddur, and they only allowed people to use his siddur if they gave from their ration of food. We know in Nazi Germany, in the concentration camps, they were given tiny rations of food. And it usually wasn't even enough to sustain themselves. And there was a Yid, he said, he had a siddur. He's the only man in the camp who had a siddur. And they only allowed you to use it, so you can get some kedusha if you gave him some of your bread. He says, how could you do that? How could you sell tefillah? It's bizarre. So Rabbi Silver asked him, and how many people came and asked him? So they said, how many people came and paid for it with their bread? So the man said, far too many. There were lots and lots. So the silver said, you're looking at it the wrong way. Why don't you focus? You're right. There was one Yid who did things improperly. It's true. Don't talk about him. Don't use your mouth for bad. Don't talk about him. You know what you should do? Focus on how many Yidden were willing to give away their ration of bread, that tiny little ration, so they can have a look in the siddur, so they can dive into Hashem. You have to learn how to focus on the good in people. There's always good in people to find. You have to look for the good. You have to focus on the good. That's what it's all about. I'll say a few minutes on the Haggadah. The Gemara in Pesachim on the Kuf Yudalit says, why are there two dippings? We have two dippings by the Seder. We dip the karpas into the salt water in order to pique the interest of the children at the Seder. That's the reason why we have that. We know that we have two, there were two of them, and the reason why we dipped it is to ask questions. We dipped the Mara and Chareses. Chazal wanted it to be out of the ordinary things occurring at the Seder, to capture the interest of the children and to motivate them to ask questions about Yisrael Mitzrayim. Why do we need karpas before we say that? We have karpas. Now, you're going to say, the reason why we have karpas is because you want people to ask questions. You want the kids, you want the adults. What's going on? Why are we having karpas? We never have karpas. Before we wash, we never have karpas. So why are we having karpas? What other night of the year do we come home, make kiddush, and say Haggadah? You're busy with your karpas, so you can ask questions. They don't need to have karpas.
It's also the only night of the year that we wash for karpas.
But we don't, why do you need that? The point is to get the kids to ask and people to ask. Do things that are different. You're doing the Haggadah. You're saying the Haggadah. You also need karpas. What is the karpas giving you more than the Haggadah? They can ask questions. No other night of the year do we say Haggadah. Every other night of the year, Shabbos, Friday night, Yom Tov, Shabbos, what do? We make Kiddush and we go eat and we wash. What happened to the washing? We've been saying Haggadah for a long time. Well, what's going on with you? What do you need karpas for? Karpas shouldn't be necessary. If the point is the karpas, just you should ask, we want you to realize that tonight is different, yeah. The Haggadah is enough to tell you this. You don't need karpas. The Ben Ishchai says, you want to know why there's two things? Why there's two dippings? The first dipping is the karpas in the salt water. This dipping is a remnant of the dipping at Mechiras Yosef, which brought about Golos Mitzrayim. And when the Shvatim, they sold Yosef, and they took his beggar, they took his clothing, and they dipped it in the blood to show their father, to make believe, to make it look like he was dead. That was bad. That was the first dipping. The second dipping is the Mara and Chareses. The dipping is a remnant of the dipping which Klal Yisrael did before Makas Bechayis. It says in Shemois, Lukachtem Agudas Eger V'tivaltem Adam HaShavuzah. Klai Yisrael took a bundle of hyssop, dipped it into blood, and then touched the doorsteps with the doorposts with it. There was blood so that the Makas Bechayis, it should jump over the ones that had the blood on there. So there was a sign that Yidden were living in the home and they were saved. Although Avraham Avinu was ready, told many years before the Klai Yisrael going to Golos, the actual cause was Mechiras Yosef. The Mechiras Yosef happened because there was a lack of Shalom and Achdus. There was no Achdus. The brothers, they looked at the Machlokes with Yosef. The representation of this dip was dipping of Yosef's clothing in blood. The Torah teaches how to rectify it. You know how? Before leaving Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael once again dipped. What did they dip? This time they dipped in blood with Achdus. They were following the will of their Bnei Hashem preparing to leave Mitzrayim. They were all ready together. They all dipped. And they all put on the doorposts. They were Achdus. That's the two dippings. The first one is that connected why we went to Golos Mitzrayim, and the second one is why we got out of Mitzrayim. Yismach Yisrael says karpas. The vegetables which are eaten for karpas are usually eaten as side dishes, not as main dishes. On Pesach night, we start with making kiddush, and then we go straight into Orchatz to wash our hands in preparation for karpas. This is a very important part of the Seder. He's giving you another reason why we have karpas, not just so the kids should remember. He says, why? The karpas. What are the karpas? The side dishes represents people who are not important. These people feel they are not worthy of praising their Bnei Hashem or their Bnei Hashem bestowing his great kindness on them. I'm nobody. I'm a side dish. What am I? I'm potato salad. You know, that big tzaddik over there, Talmud Chacham, he's a rib steak, you know. He can bench their Bnei Hashem. He can praise their Bnei Hashem. He can say Haggadah the whole night. I'm nobody. We start off with, we're all equal. On the night of Pesach, we start with the side dish. That's what we start with, the karpas. Each and every year must realize he's important. On this night, he rises to exalted heights. I want us to take this feeling with him throughout the year. Meridik. Meridik. It says in the Ben Yehuda, not the Ben Yehuda, in the Yaakov Emden Siddur, he quotes that there was a certain Sar that he saw that when there was a line for the Korban Pesach, There was no normal order. There was no, oh, an elderly person went first, a more chasha person went first. There were kids in the front. There were kids in the, there were not big tamid chachamim. There was not an order. And you know what they answered why? Because Pesach, we're all b'nei malachim. We're all children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're all kings. We're all princes. We're all princes, and that's what we have to remember. The late David says, Karpas is the Rosh HaTevis for Klal Rishen Pesavur. The first rule is the mouth should be closed. When one's mouth is closed, he does not speak Dvar B'Talim, and he certainly doesn't speak Lashon Hara, as we were discussing. This saves one from doing Averis with his mouth. The more one speaks, the more potential for sin. He keeps on talking, eventually he's going to say things he shouldn't. One has to be careful with his mouth as a first step to become a Kaddish. There's a remnant of this in the Seder. We say Kaddish or Chatz. If one wants to become Kaddish and wash away his sins, or Chatz, Klal Rishon Pesavur, Karpas. Kaddish. If you want to be Kaddish, or Chatz, wash your mouth out, and then you'll be with Karpas. Klal Rishon Pesavur, and you'll be Zeichah to be a Kaddish. The Sfasema says, the Zohar says the word Pesach is a contraction of the words Pesach, mouth which speaks. Pesach is a time to speak about, even though you should keep your mouth closed and not talk a lot, regular throughout the year, but tonight, what do you speak about the night of Pesach? It's Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Magen Avraham says, the Maril writes on Pesach, there's a minute to eat karpas. The word karpas is an etrikin for Samach Perach. There's a remnant of the 600,000 who worked that way this Perach. Divrei Yoel says, why would the Chacham Misak in the night of Pesach, we must wash our hands before Karpas, eating a vegetable, something which you do not have to do the rest of the year? Yes, there might have been a time, but we don't do the rest of the year, wash our hands. The Chacham Mo teaches a very important lesson at the beginning of the Seder. We need to follow the words of the Torah and the words of the Chacham, even if we don't understand it. You want to know why you wash your hands? We don't know. That's the answer. The answer is because Chacham tell us. Because we know, we learn as a kid, Kaddish or Chatz. Why? I don't know. We need to imbue ourselves with Emunas Chachamim. We need to strive to follow the words of Terech Desha as well as Chachamim with Emunah Pshuta. Emunah Pshuta, no questions asked. Perhaps now we can understand why Karpas at the beginning of the Seder. We eat Karpas so that each and every Yid should know that he has the capabilities to become a true Eved Hashem. We have to work on ourselves to make ourselves Kaddish. We must know when to open our mouths and when to keep our mouths shut. Most important, we need to build our Emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to constantly work on building our appetite for Kedusha. The Ribbono Shel Olam took us out of Mitzrayim despite the fact we were in the depths of Tumah. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a God who saves. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to save us. You know why we eat Karpas? To get the children to ask questions. What does that mean? The children, the adults, we don't just mean the children. They have to be taught along with the adults that we must yearn to be saved from as Klai Yisrael was saved from Mitzrayim, we have to yearn to be saved from this Golas. We're in the Golas still today. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. The whole night of Pesach, and you know what's built in Yitzias Mitzrayim? Chazal say Yitzias Mitzrayim was in Yitzias Mitzrayim is also the ultimate Gula. That was the beginning. We're eventually going to go out. We say Meir, we say for an eternal freedom. Eternal freedom? Look throughout the generations after Mitzrayim. With Klai Yisrael always in freedom, Baruch Hashem, now we live in America, we're not enslaved, but look what's going on. We're talking about spiritually. Spiritual freedom. We have to always yearn to continue to grow and to be Zeichem, that we should have the ultimate Geula. The Yitzias Mitzrayim take us to the ultimate Geula. We should be Zeichem to see the Geula Shleim Mehev Yemein.